groupthink crowd anywhere at any time. What I'm about is letting you know what is on my mind. What is necessary, however, is that I challenge you to think along with me. And as I talk about a million different things here.
It's the Dino Costa Show, Monday through Thursday nights, 11 to 1 a.m. on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Grizz Nation, don't miss Adoptable Pet Night as Marc Gasol and your Memphis Grizzlies battle the Milwaukee Bucks Wednesday, January 16th at 7 p.m. The first 5,000 fans will receive a Grizz Girl and Puppy poster presented by Mercury Printing. Call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com today.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side.
I'm at the snowy side of the street this weekend.
So they say.
And that happy turn.
Yeah, you're right. So they say. They've been wrong before. I think this
life
one
can be so sweet.
Gonna happen.
On sunny side of the street.
I just hope Tim will be able to get in Monday. Oh, wait. That's right.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Zinger.
On the rail.
Wasn't a zinger.
But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Oh man, they're actually here. I'm not worthy.
No, you're not. See, Tim's the only one who Monday won't have to worry about coming in for this grind, this 3-hour grind. Why do I hear myself in my headphones coming back at me?
I don't know, but I can hear a distortion as well.
Brain tumor.
No, I think it's probably a jam's room.
Dan, you got a button pushed.
I don't.
Could be. Somebody does because I...
No, there's no button to push.
I hear a little tinny tin can echo of myself coming back, and Limey hears it too. Fix it.
Whoa.
Put the hammer down.
That was
fix it. Well, somebody did something because it's gone, so who was it? Who was it that fixed it?
That would be me.
Which means you were the culprit. You were the one that had something not pushed or pushed. No, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I knew it.
Too busy.
Knew.
Too busy. You were the culprit.
Too busy scolding Limey to worry about the important thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm glad there's no big prize involved because at least you win nothing. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the January 9th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, the countdown till the end of Tim Woodburn's stint here is at 2 days, today and tomorrow, and he goes on to other things, his choice, and we wish him well. I did get, it's interesting, of the emails that I got, they all were positive. Well, we'll miss Tim. But they almost all said this. I hated his guts when he came on. I did not like him at all. And the lesson here is sometimes you just have to give things a chance, give people a chance. You know, it's change, but in time, it works out. It always has for me. And I've had lots of change. I've had different partners. I've had other stations. And the same initial reaction. This sucks. And then, in a reasonable amount of time, it comes around and it works. So,
you know why I think that happened?
Because you were blustery and bullyish.
Right.
And,
But it's because every other sports talk show I ever did in my life, I was a sports talk show host. And I just had it in the mindset that people on radio argued with each other, that you got in each other's face and you were confrontational and you argued with each other. I had never listened to this show before I came on the show. Seriously. And you and I have talked about that.
No, I know. And you know that the owner of the station has still never heard the show.
I know.
That's unbelievable to me.
I know.
It's true.
But that's just how I was raised. You know how we always say that phrase, that's how I was raised. That's how I was raised on radio. And I
get it.
Yeah, I just, you know, had to calm down. I started taking Valium before I came in here. That's what changed.
Did you?
Nice.
I think we talk about Valium. If for some reason today, I'm real relaxed today, and I'm never relaxed. I didn't smoke anything or take anything. I'm relaxed today, and I wish I knew why, because I'd like to duplicate this.
Harness
I'd like
that.
To be relaxed.
Did you get some last night?
Eat a brownie.
Somewhat. Somebody. I'm married. You know what? I'm married. That's disgusting.
He got some brownie.
I'm married.
Oh.
No, I didn't get anything. I don't know. I wish I knew why, because I'd like to be relaxed every day, but I never am. I'm never relaxed. And today, as relaxed as I can be, I am today. So let's start this thing off the way we do and have so many times. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. Dan sent me a text. This is pretty big.
Yeah.
I realize that when I say things about my grandson or my kids or Dan talks about his daughter or whatever, I get it when people roll their eyes and go, oh, more about your kid. Well, you know what? Too bad, because we have a platform to do it, and sometimes we're proud. Here now is, with his contribution to the Burke segment, Dan Levi Strauss. It's all yours.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
My daughter is back home from SEMO. She went down to
SEMO.
That
is a great story. I knew it would be good.
Yeah.
I knew it would be good.
And that's all I have. No,
anybody else?
She's back from SEMO, and her last semester is actually student teaching because she wants to be a choir teacher. And she'd like to do it in a middle school, but right now she's teaching at a high school, and then they're moving her over to elementary to fifth grade, and she's dealing with the high school choir and a fifth grade choir. So she's doing
I would
that
think high now. School teaching is very challenging, except for the fact that she's teaching choir. Because I think choir kids have a different personality and different mind. They're not going to, give you a bunch of hassle. They're in the choir.
Well,
so that's
the
a
one,
good thing to teach if you're going to teach in high school.
Oh, yeah. But there are some divas that are in the choir. And Alyssa being 22, she's not that far removed from their age. So they're kind of looking at her thinking, well, what do you know? And, stuff like that.
Yeah, that much older than we are.
Oh, yeah. But so she was finished at SEMO at the choir, with the choir down at SEMO, and she said she was going to miss doing that and singing and performing. And
what's the blind college down there? See Less.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Blind Bob liked it. Thank you.
That was funny.
Blind Bob. Thank you. Thank you, Limey.
The blind
thank
college. So she had talked about trying out for some different choirs, and the choir director from the St. Louis Symphony Choir at Powell Hall came down to SEMO and was talking about people auditioning and things, and they had a couple of spots open. So she went and auditioned yesterday, and she called me. I said, call me when you finish auditioning. She auditioned at 6:10, and I drove home, and I thought, I'm going to stop and get some Chinese food.
I love Chinese food.
Oh, I do, too. So right when I'm ordering, I told the guy, I said, yeah, I would like to get, and my phone rings, and I said, hold on, I have to take this. So he's standing there, and he's looking at me like, come on, buddy, I've got stuff to do. So
the guy in the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah. Well, he just kind of looked at me like that. Like, what
come
are you
on,
doing?
I think
taking a phone call.
What are you doing?
Yeah, why you take phone call? So I picked up the phone. I said, hello. And she goes, I made it. And I went, yes!
Yes!
And started screaming in the Chinese restaurant.
They thought they were getting robbed.
you had to leave now. You upset customer. You had to leave.
Yeah. You know, yell.
No yelling.
Order.
No yelling in here.
UL.
Ladies and gentlemen, so what this means, she is going to sing in the St. Louis Symphony Choir?
Yes. Yeah, she's singing in the St. Louis Symphony Choir.
I have a feeling, I don't know, but I have a feeling that pays next to nothing.
No, I don't.
I'm serious.
No, I'm not sure what it. I'm not sure what it pays, but I don't know. But
well, do musicians in the St. Louis Symphony, do they make good money? They should.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much.
I didn't know
make.
There was a St. Louis Symphony Choir.
I didn't either until she was talking about it. I had no idea.
Frank, I would pay your daughter $100 to go to that audition if she'd let me.
Audition.
If she'd let me videotape and then videotape the looks on the guys' faces that are listening to the auditions.
Wouldn't that be hysterical?
I would pay her.
Oh my goodness, that would be funny.
I'd pay her.
I know.
She could pay for several people. So all right, so here's my question. What did the audition consist of? How long was it, and what did she have to sing? Do you know?
She picked a song. She picked her the own song, and I can't remember what song it was.
And do they give her parameters like it has to be this genre? Here are your choices.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just pull any song out and do it.
Yeah.
Because it has to fit in with what they perform.
Was it Back in Black?
Yeah. Yeah, it was something like that. Back in Black.
You mean Back to Black?
No.
Amy Winehouse?
No. Back in Black. No, Back AC/DC? In Black is AC/DC. But
I didn't know. I knew Back to Black is Amy Winehouse. I didn't
know.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
That's
well,
pretty,
thank you.
That's pretty
thank
obscure.
You
so
thank you.
But she had to pick a song, so she picked a song that would show her range, and then they had to test her range to see where she was going with. She's a soprano 2, but they want her to be a soprano 1, which I have no idea what that means.
I think that means her voice has got to be higher.
Yeah, a little higher.
I've heard of first soprano and second soprano.
Oh, that's
same
it.
Thing.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
a soprano one, you sing standing up, and a soprano 2, you sing sitting down.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, 1 and 2. Gotcha.
Just had
that's for guys.
Just had somebody text over that apparently musicians in St. Louis make pretty good money because there is a musicians union. So I'll have to see if she makes it into that. There you go.
As there should be. So you don't know the act. Because if you could tell us the song, we could pull it up. Not her singing.
Yeah.
But we could at least listen to what the song is. Do you know?
No, I don't know what song it was.
Can you call her and find out?
She's actually teaching right now. She's student teaching.
No.
So... And then she had to sight read and sing a song
mean?
That they picked. Sight read the music. So
what
she reads the music. She has.
So you have to look at the sheet and sing the melody based on just reading the notes.
Yes. Yeah. While the accompanist is on the piano playing a different part of the song, another part of the song, she has to sing her part of that song, which was really strange to me. So she had to do that, and there was something else that she had to do, but she made it.
That would suck if you didn't know how to read music and you had to do that. You just have to, like, make it up.
Well, yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Go read me.
Here's how stupid I am. The idea that somebody could take a piece of paper, and it's got those musical notes on those lines and those little curly Q stuff, and they can pick it up and go, what? I mean, how do you do that? It just looks like something foreign to me when I look at music.
And chords.
I wish I knew how to read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to read it. Well, good for her.
So that's,
when does she start?
They said she started last night with them because they had rehearsal last night. They have.
And so does she perform all over the place or just at Powell Hall? Or
we don't know any of that either. Everything just happened last night, and she was just started talking to some of the people. But she's performing at Powell Hall, I believe, February 15th and 16th.
Well, what would suck to me is if you're in the choir and you're really good, you're just in the choir. And nobody, it's almost like you want to go, hey, everybody, kind of try to listen to just me. You know, but because, I'm serious, it's like being in the Blue Man Group and you got a date and you tell a girl, hey, you know, I'm in the Blue Man Group. Really? Prove it. I mean, you're like, anonymous, sort of. And being in a choir, which maybe she'll get a chance to do a solo part. See, that's where somebody hears you and goes, hey, this girl's going places. Alyssa, my name is Brett Talbert, and I'm the head of Talbert Records. And we'd like to audition you and maybe sign you to a contract. I'm serious. But somebody's got to hear her, so hopefully she'll get a solo part every once in a while.
I'll see if I can bring something in from her. I don't have a copy of it yet. She has it.
Here's what I hope. If she makes it big, and she's like a big famous singer, real famous, I hope you remind her how nice I always was to her when she was little.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Even as a little bitty girl, I was always nice.
When we opened the door and you looked over and said, no kids allowed.
That's right. No, I wasn't. I always told her she'd have to get out of the studio. We didn't allow a kid. That's right. It's you. Well, that's a good contribution. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. And I hate to do this because this is going to throw you way back in second place, but my grandson... now can ride all over the place on his own on a bicycle with no training wheels.
No training wheels?
Wow.
Here's what happened. He kept saying, I want training wheels, I want training wheels, because he'd ridden the bike with training wheels. They bought him a little bike. It had training wheels on it. And so he wanted a bigger bike because he's tall. And he kept saying, I have to have training wheels. And his dad said, no, we're going to have a bike with no training wheels, and that's the best way to learn. In less than 15 minutes of riding time, He was just off and gone, riding like crazy. And look, I know that's not a big deal. Millions of kids, including all of us, rode a bike. But what's interesting about it is when you go through it again and you watch the expression on their face when they know, I'm just riding, it makes you almost wish you could remember. Nobody in the room here can remember when you mastered riding a bike, can you? Because you were too young. I don't remember it.
I can remember. I mean, it wasn't that far away for me. You know, no offense.
But you remember falling down and learn trying to learn to ride?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How old were you, 15? How old were you?
No, I think I was like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 when I finally learned how to ride.
If you were 5 or 6, memory for most people starts, the earliest for most people is 4. Most people, the great majority of people, 5-ish is when. So you possibly didn't learn.
I remember going to the prom with my dad and coming home with my mom.
No, you'll ruin the joke. Oh. That's a joke that I tell, and you'll ruin it if you tell it.
I know.
Should I tell that today? You know what? Should I tell that today?
Can we get it as a bonus joke?
Yeah.
You know, I've been asking you to tell a joke for 16 months, and you still haven't told it.
Which one?
What is it?
The one that where the preacher's saying, "Tell it all, brother, tell it all."
I don't know that I remember all of it. I remember the punchline. Okay. I remember the joke. I don't want to ruin it. Didn't you tell it on here?
No, I didn't.
We had you tell it.
No, I didn't. I never did.
Well, look, you got 2 days left. Tell it now. Well, tell it now, brother. Tell it now.
No, I'll tell it tomorrow. Because I have to practice it. It's been a while since I told it.
But see, that's my point. It is a joke that requires running through to make sure you really remember it. I haven't told it. I've told it, but I haven't told it in a long time. I don't want to mess it up. This is something, folks, to look forward to. Tomorrow, Tim Woodburn, on his last day, is going to tell the tell-it-all brother joke.
Oh. That's a good one. There's a reason to be here. Reason to be listening.
How old is Carson?
He's 5. He's 5 and a half.
Oh, okay.
So I'm certainly old enough to learn to ride a bike. But what I do remember is not learning to ride, but I remember I guess the ridiculously stupid things we did with bicycles. I give an example. I think a lot of boys do this. We made a ramp, and we jumped the ramp, and we'd have our friends lie down, and we'd jump over them.
Yep.
Now you could injure a spinal column. You could break somebody's neck. I mean, if you think about it, and then you'd have 2 kids lie down, 3 kids, and see how many kids like Evel Knievel jumping over cars, and you jumped over your friends, little friends.
I can out-stupid that. Okay. When I was about 12, and I think this was witnessed by my mom or my stepdad or both. When I was about 12 years old, growing up in South County, I had a 10-speed bike, and
lucky
there was a good looking girl that lived about 3 houses down from me, and she was out in her front yard, and I come zooming down the hill and curling around to the right, and I turn to my left and I see her out in the front yard, and I like wanted to show her how cool I was by riding with no hands, and I took both hands off the handlebars and I waved at her, and my face slammed into the side view mirror of a van that was parked on the street.
So that's what happened to your face?
Knocked me off my bike.
Oh, man.
You know, this entire 15 and a half months, you've never explained to people what happened to your face. Yeah. This is the first time we've heard.
Now, but how about that, though? The first time you ever ride a bike with no hands. You know, you can keep your balance.
Oh man, it's the greatest. You put your hands, woohoo! And the truth is, it's easy to do. The bike is well balanced, riding with no hands is not a big deal. Here's the big deal that I never could do, is these little kids that I saw, same age as I was, who could ride backwards. They sit on the handlebars and pedal back. Oh my goodness, no. I wanted to do that bad.
We did that.
I didn't know you could do that.
I was doing surveillance at downtown Busch Stadium 2 weeks ago, sitting there at 9:30 at night outside of Busch Stadium next door. I can't think of the name.
Ballpark Village. Gotcha.
This guy had to be 45 years old. He was flying past me on a bicycle, riding it backwards, and was making turns riding it backwards. And was like looking over his shoulder while riding the bike back. I didn't even know they made bikes like that. Like he would have had to construct that.
Oh, he's probably a trick rider.
No, you do it on a regular bike. When I was a kid, it was a regular bicycle. You sit up on the handlebars and pedal backwards. You just have to be able to balance in reverse.
It was
balance backwards.
Wow. No, you can go to like a skate park, and they have the bike ramps, too. They can do that with the bikes and everything. So maybe he does that stuff.
And then they have these trick bikes now. We've all seen these guys. It's unbelievable what they can
do.
The wheelies, they ride, yeah, pegs, and they ride around with the bike, the front wheel pointing straight up, and they're, basically it turns into a unicycle. And it's amazing to watch that stuff. But yeah, a bike is a big deal. This is a huge, huge day for him. This is like getting your driver's license. You know, when you're a kid, the day you learn to ride a bike, the day you actually learn to swim and you're not afraid of the water and you can do a couple of laps, that's not even as big as a bike. Bike is a big deal. And having a bike is a big deal. And here's another interesting thing. My son found a bike at Walmart. And it's a really neat bike. It's got coaster brakes, which all bikes used to have, and one hand brake for the front wheel. It's a basic, but it's a really nice bike. $68. When I was a kid, my dad made $50 a week. You know how much the bike was that I remember he bought for Christmas for my brother? $52, and that was a million years ago. He had to take out a one-year payment plan to pay that bike off in a year, $52. And now, 68, it's a better bike than that one was. So that's one of these things where the price hasn't gotten out of control. And one of these things that, with all, like I said the other day, with all the technology, a bike is still the same as it always was. It's a sprocket and a chain, and, you know, it's a bike. It's the same thing. Tim mentioned 10-speed. Here's something I've never ever understood. The two things I don't understand about people that ride bikes. One, the shiny pants, goofy helmet look, the Tour de France.
Yeah,
they're not in the Tour de France. Yeah, but they have to dress like Lance Armstrong or something. I don't get that. And the other thing I don't get is, at one time, it was very common for lots of bikes to be 21-speed bikes. That was a 21, 12-speed, 10-speed. Nobody, 98% of people never use of the 10 gears six or seven of them. You use low and then like three and seven or eight. And 21, holy cow, who needs that? Nobody. It's really ridiculous. And again, people bought them and rode them, didn't use 80% of the gears.
Oh, it's the
yet.
Same.
It was a cool thing to have.
Oh, yeah, it was the same at my high school. I think the most you could have was like 18 or something like that. And all the cool kids had like, you know, 18 gears on their bike because they could go even faster. I think mine just had a 10-speed. I loved it.
Now, if I did ride regularly, I wouldn't be good at it because I would never be able to fix a chain if it broke.
Oh, yeah.
These people carry the tools with them. If the chain breaks, no big deal. If my chain, I'd call AAA if I had a chain break.
AAA.
I would. Or fix a tire. You ever try to fix a bicycle tire? When I was a kid, you had to do that. You had a patch kit, you know, and then you'd take the thing off the rim. Holy cow.
Yeah, you have to put it in like
horrible.
In the bucket of water so you can find the hose.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the holes
for the bubbles.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to do. And the other thing was these bikes at one time, especially the 21 speed, the tires were the width of a pencil. I mean, I want a tire. I want like a big fat bicycle tire like my Schwinn had when I was a kid. You know, I don't want to rely on a thin little strip of rubber with a puff of air in it.
Are you talking about the ones where the handlebars, like, curve downwards, like the official racing type ones?
The more the handlebars curve down, the skinnier the tire.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I always stuck with a mountain bike. I felt safer on that one.
And then remember the banana seats? That was a big deal. And then you're right, mountain bikes. That was a big deal.
Banana seat, and then if you were really cool, you had a high sissy bar on the back. Remember those?
Nope. Yeah. What's that?
The sissy bar, the middle metal bar that was behind you on the seat, that was connected to the seat.
Huh, I do.
Okay.
Now, here's another dangerous, stupid thing that lots of us did. Take your little sister, I didn't have a sister, or the neighbor girl, or a little kid who's little, and let him sit up on the handlebars while you drove it. Right in front of you. Sitting right. So that if you hit something, that kid, his face is going to be in the pavement or in another car or something.
My dad did it with me when I was a kid. You've got your handlebars in front of you, and you've got the frame connecting the handlebars to the seats.
Right.
He would, if we were going down, like, you know, a small hill or something, he would sit me on the middle bar, and I would kind of hold on to the handlebars, and, you know, I'd just be surrounded by his arms, and then we'd just coast down the hill. And we used to do that, actually, until we were stopped by a policewoman, I think, and she told my dad he couldn't do me, like, you know, we couldn't do that anymore. So we got one of those embarrassing seats that you stick on the bike, on the back of your bike. So all you've right. got for the next half an hour is your dad's just back and butt right in your face. It was horrible.
And this is the same guy that dropped you on your head?
Huh?
Yeah. This is the same guy that dropped you on your head on another incident?
Yeah, he did. Okay. Dropped me on my head. Thank you for bringing
now, hold
up
on.
My
you just said your dad had you sit before the cop stopped him in mm-hmm. front of you straddling that nut bar?
Yeah. I mean, be fair, you know, this was 1988.
Nut 80, bar.
Not 89. I mean, this
yeah, that bar on a boy's bike that crushes yeah. your testicles if your foot mm-hmm. slips
no,
on
no,
the
no,
pedal.
No. Not the nut crusher. The bar that actually, like, the frame part, you know? And you've got, like, that triangle frame. That's where I used to sit.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble.
All right, so you're sitting on the seat, right?
Right, and the handlebars in front of you.
Handlebars in front of you.
And there's a boy's bike. There's a bar right there where you would, if you straddled it and stood in front of the seat, it would hit you in the crotch. Okay,
right.
That's what I see when I think of a bike.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then I would sit on that. I thought you were talking about that little section of frame where the handlebars were connected to the actual bike frame.
No. Okay. I'm talking about from the seat forward.
Yeah.
On a girl's bike, it swoops down so they could get in with the skirt and just step through it.
I used to sit on that.
But I've never understood it should have been reversed. The boy's bike should have had the swoop down so that you don't crush your testicles. The girl's bike, they should have all been like that. There was no need for that bar. That bar is dangerous. If your foot as a boy slips on, it's wet, you're riding in the rain, and your foot as you come down slips, you are a soprano, okay? That's the way it is. First soprano or second soprano?
That bar turned a lot of boys, Frank, into men.
Yeah. Well, or into girls, one or the other. But, man, that's one of those things that I'm sure there are kids, I guess, who never wanted a bike or never had a bike. I don't know there are many kids who couldn't have a bike because Goodwill... I was in Goodwill over the holidays, and Goodwill had bicycles, and there was a beautiful bike for $8, and it was in perfect shape that somebody donated. So I doubt that there are too many kids who just actually cannot have, I'm sure the poorest of the poor can't have a bike. We didn't have any money, and it killed my dad. He went into the Firestone store and bought a two-tone green bike with, and Dan and even Tim probably, we'll remember this. The cool bikes had a headlight on the front fender that used two D-cell batteries and a horn in that center bar with a button on the side, and it had D-cell batteries in it. And if you were super cool, you had streamers coming out of the handlebars. Remember those? Those plastic streamers. So when you go down the road, those pieces of plastic were flying, and then you get into... for people who don't know what a clothespin is, you'd clothespin baseball playing cards or regular deck of playing cards to the spokes, to the frame, so that when the spokes went by, it sounded like you had a motor. That was a big deal, too. Cards flipping. And then does anybody remember putting Coke bottle caps in between the spokes?
Mm-mm. Never
so
did that,
went,
no.
It made a circle of Coke bottle caps, and they were just wedged in the spokes, and it just, I don't know, it looked kind of cool. But now... they have LED lights that you clamp onto the spokes, and they're motion activated. And when that bike takes off at night, it looks like a lit up Ferris wheel. It is really neat. A bike is just a. I'm glad it's the same as it always was because it's a great memory. It's I don't know. It's just part of growing up being a kid, especially for a boy. I don't know how important a bike was to girls, but for a boy, and I will never, ever forget that when I was about 7, there was a kid, his name was Al Bershares. He had the absolute coolest bike of anybody in the neighborhood. It had streamer. He had a whip antenna, like a police antenna, on it with a flag on top so people
Whoa.
Could see him. Oh, yeah. He had, you name it, this thing was tricked out. And when you're 7 and adults try to tell you that your little friend Al was hit and killed by a car on that bicycle, it's devastating. I mean, I to this day, And they named the Little League field after him, Albershire's field, as just a little, in the Hicktown little field, but they named it after him. And I just, it always stuck with me that, and I guess the lesson is sometimes you're envious of people or you're jealous because he had the bike that everybody wanted and he got killed on it. And I just,
yeah, how about that with the flag?
With the
and
big
everything?
Flag
yeah.
on the antenna. He still got hit and killed. Jeez. And I just never got that out of my head. So sometimes be careful what you wish for. I guess that's what you take away from that. Anybody else for the congratulations to Alyssa? Anybody else for the Burke segment?
I have a quick one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, soon to be history and soon to add to his resume of night cook at Denny's, door-to-door knife salesman, Busch Stadium beer vendor, head of research, newsman, head of news department, digital clock resetter and author, soon to be added to that resume, former newsman of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Here's Tim Woodburn.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Somebody gave me a gift card to Annie Gunn's for Christmas, and I went into the smokehouse on Sunday. And I mean, I was like a kid on Christmas Day walking around with that gift card.
Hold on. You're trying to lose weight.
I know. And so I'm on the
Tell low, me you did not buy cherry pie.
No. I bought all meat products. I'm low carb,
okay,
all meat.
Good for you.
I bought at the smokehouse. I had never tried their ribs before. They're smoked ribs that are already pre-cooked and they're wrapped and they have them hot there for you, ready to just pick up and go home and slice them up. They're hot. They keep them right there. I went to a rib place on Manchester Road here that's not far from our station about 3 weeks ago, and I was horribly disappointed at the quality of the ribs. I mean, it was like not even as thick as my finger, the meat around the bone. It was just like it was like bone and like, you know, skin. That was about it.
Yeah.
These ribs that I had at the smokehouse, they were the best ribs I've ever had in my life. They were
what?
They were the
Would
best.
Would you repeat that?
The ribs I had at the smokehouse next to Annie Gunn's are the best ribs I've had in my 49 and a half years on this planet.
There's a testimonial, folks, because I'm going to tell you, this man in his day has eaten some food, and if he says they're the best in his life, that's pretty big.
It was unbelievable. I mean, they were so thick. They're smoked, and they had some kind of glaze on them, but they were so thick, you had to take two bites on each side of the bone just to get to the bone. That's how much meat was on these ribs.
Were they pork or beef?
They were beef. Oh, no. They were pork ribs. They were pork ribs.
Okay.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I've never seen, I don't even know what. I can't even imagine the size of the animal that these had to come from. I've never seen ribs that big. Seriously. It was just absolutely spectacular, and I had a half slab that night, and then I had the last half of them last night, and wow, I was just blown away. Blown away.
Remember that cow in the news a couple of weeks ago, that gigantic yeah. cow? Maybe it was one of those cows.
Could have been.
Maybe from that same farm.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep. So that was it. I just, you know, there's good, and then there's great, and then there's all-time best on anything. All-time best I've ever had.
Wow. Thank you for that testimony.
No problem.
Not a surprise to me. Anybody else? Burke segment, anything?
Aaron on the phone has something about a bike.
Well, I'd be happy to talk to Aaron. Bike. Aaron, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
You've had me many times. I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself? Did you have a nice new year?
I had a terrific new year. Every day of my life actually is a terrific, but thank you.
You know, I before I get out of bed every morning, I decide right then and there what kind of day it's going to be, and it's always going to be a good day.
Good for you. So
and
what's
I
up?
I told my wife that if she gets on to me, I said, really, you want to start the day out like this?
Yeah. See, wives have a tendency to want to start out ruining your day. You can't let them. You can't let them.
She's a pretty good old girl.
No, anyway, I'm sure she appreciates you calling her an old girl. She probably loves that. So Dan said you had a bike story or something.
Yeah, remember the bikes that had the steering wheel on them?
No.
No?
Oh, my God, Dan, I never saw a bike with
a steering wheel.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they came like that.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? Why not? I think about it. You just need to go left and right, and why not a steering wheel?
Yeah.
And two, this particular bike I'm talking about was all decked out with the streamers and, you know, everything else. And two, it had, I guess you grew up the same era as I did, you know, with the banana seat. And you had the little sissy bar that only came up to the banana seat. Well, this here sissy bar went up like 4 or 5 feet higher than the seat.
Hmm. Yeah, at some point they decided to stop just making all bikes the same, like, you know, the Schwinn. And then somebody said, hey, let's do some mountain bikes and banana bikes. And the steering wheel, I can tell you, I've never heard of. I never knew that a bike was steering wheel.
We were brought up in the backwoods of House Springs, and God, we had old logging roads that all rolled over, and we used to just ride those bikes everywhere.
All right, Aaron, I appreciate the call.
All right. Have a good day, buddy.
You too, man. Bye-bye. I'm his buddy. Yeah, I was about to say something. I forgot. Was anybody else for the Burke segment?
No, I'm good.
Nothing? Everything? Okay. We can close. The Burke segment is officially closed. Oh, man, I'm sitting here now, and I start thinking about it. There was a church, and down on the side of the church, it went downhill, and there was like a huge hole that when it rained, it became a mud hole. And we put some ramps up, and we deliberately go down after rain, and if you didn't make it over to the other ramp, you just fell in a big mud hole. it was so much fun when you launched that bike in the air and you came down on the other ramp and you made it and you didn't get in the mud hole. And there's certain things if you just really start thinking about them. Like, it's funny, I remember my brother's bike for Christmas, but I don't remember the actual receiving or getting any bike for myself. I mean, I know I had a couple of bikes. There was a little girl in our neighborhood who got injured pretty badly with that ramp jumping thing. One of the kids had her lie down. He didn't know what he was doing. The ramp collapsed and the bike came down right on her back. And ooh, she was like 5 or 6 or something. And I remember, boy, her dad was not happy, man. He wanted to know who the kid was. Thank goodness it wasn't me. But now look at these calls. We got all these calls. I say we take them. Let me give the numbers, which I didn't do. By the way, you'll need these numbers next hour because Dr. Doug Pernikoff, who's been with us for years, and I thought long ago we'd run out of things for people to ask him. No. People love their pets, and they always have an issue or a question or a concern or just want some information. So Dr. Doug will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. Here we go. You can do this now. You can use them later. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Chris is next. Chris, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, Frank. Enjoying you talking about you teaching your grandson to ride a bike. For years, I've taught literally hundreds of kids and adults to ride. And how old is your
grandson? Hold on. How is it you taught hundreds of people? Is that what you do for a living?
Well, it's part of what I do. Haven't been doing for the last 15 years. I own City Cycling Tours. We do the bike rentals and guided bike tours in Forest Park. And, and as a kind of a sideline, I teach kids and adults anywhere from, oh God, how old's your grandson?
He's 5, 5 and a half.
Yeah, well, I don't know how far you've got along, how much success you're making, but what we do.
No, we're done. No, Chris, we're done. He can go and ride and turn around. I mean, he's done. The only thing he can't do is push off himself. He hasn't yet figured out how to get up enough momentum to go. You have to kind of give him a push. But let me ask you a question. You said you taught adults. Are there adults who come to you who don't know how to ride a bike?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. More than kids.
Wow.
You would be surprised. The oldest was 76 and, 73 at the time, actually, and she was a very active swimmer and runner, and she never learned to ride, and she wanted to do a triathlon, and so we got her ride. She'd completed quite a few since then, but no, as far as young kids go, nowadays, training wheels, generally speaking, are a waste of time. You want to use a balance bike or a stride bike. I don't know if you know what those are, but it's a lot quicker way to teach kids to ride.
Well, anymore with Segways and stuff, I'm sure somebody out there has a gyro bike that just balances itself. You just get on it and it sits upright. It's probably out there.
Well, that's true. But you know, you got to learn to balance it on your own. That's the key. Once you learn to balance it, pedaling is nothing,
I agree. Anyway, let me ask you this. How long does it take a 73-year-old woman, and if you could guess, how many minutes of riding before she was on her own and went, hey, whoo, I can ride the bike? How long did that take?
With that person, it was a little arduous. You know, the older they are, they tend to be a little more, it's about overcoming the fear. But Jero was a bit of a challenge, but she hadn't stopped yet, so it was worth the trouble for her for sure.
Well, the other thing is there's a fear of breaking bones. I mean, you fall down on a bike when you're a kid, it's one thing. You fall down when you're 73, you're in the hospital.
That's where it comes from, exactly. Yeah. But make sure you tell your grandson if you ever see him riding without a helmet, you're going to take the bike away.
No, that's a done deal. That's already done. Done. And thank you, Chris. I appreciate the call. All right, let me tell you something. I am so glad that when I was a kid, I didn't have to wear a goofy helmet. Can you imagine wearing a helmet as a kid on a bicycle? I know that you say, well, which is smarter, wearing a helmet or not? Okay, it's smarter to wear a helmet. I don't want to wear a helmet when I ride a bike, even today. I would never have wanted to as a kid. It almost takes away from that feeling of woohoo, freedom and flying through the air and feeling the wind on your hair and head. And I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have to be part of that helmet thing. Am I crazy? Does anybody agree?
No, when I was like a real small kid, I used to wear a helmet. And also we had like, you know, the whole learn how to ride a bike in school where they taught you like road safety. Had to wear a helmet then. But afterwards, no, I mean, no.
I'll never forget being at St. Mary's High School and former St. Louis Blues defenseman Ed Kia came and talked to our school about helmet safety. And Ed Kia was a guy that didn't wear a helmet when he played. And he suffered a horrible injury, a head injury, when he got cross-checked into the boards. And he couldn't talk right after that.
Hockey is totally different than riding a bike.
Well, no, because you can still fall on your head and get a head injury. It's motorcycle, bicycle, hockey, it doesn't matter.
I can't imagine playing hockey without a helmet.
Well, they used to. I
mean, they used to all the time.
Yeah, in the 80s. It only became a mandatory rule in the NHL in the last 15, 20 years, but my point is that it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're moving fast and you're in the wide open, motorcycle, bicycle, hockey player, whatever, I mean, weigh the pros versus the cons. And the pros versus the cons on Planet Woodburn is seeing Ed Kia speak in 1986 and thinking to myself, I'll never do anything without wearing a helmet again.
I'm probably weird, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I don't know if you could say it's right or wrong. Certainly, it's not as smart to ride without a helmet, but given the choice, I've had 17 motorcycles. I've ridden the motorcycle without a helmet and with a helmet. My preference is without a helmet. That's my preference. I didn't say it's smarter, so don't email me, Frank, that's stupid. I know it's smarter to wear a helmet. What's next, a helmet on a Sea-Doo? Think about a watercraft going 70 miles an hour across the water, and you hit a boat or something. I don't want to wear a helmet when I'm water skiing, when I'm on a Sea-Doo. I don't want to wear a helmet if I'm flying an airplane. I'm a pilot. I don't want to wear a helmet then. There's certain thing, a convertible. You're riding in a convertible. What, do you want to wear a helmet in a convertible? No, I don't want to. It takes away from the feeling. Would it be smart? Probably. Yes. The answer is yes. Not probably. Yes. Especially with certain things. I just prefer not to. And I had the only motorcycle accident I had where I went over the handlebars was in Illinois, no helmet law, and I did not have a helmet on, and I went completely over the handlebars in the air, down on the pavement on my back, broke my belt in half, took one of my shoes off, knocked me out. No blood, no concussion. I was lucky. I could have had a bad head injury, but I got the bike fixed and took off and rode again without a helmet. Not smarter than a helmet, just my choice. Got to do a little business or we won't be in business. Now, one of the things certainly that can happen, even with a helmet, you get your teeth knocked out when you do something stupid on a bike or have an accident. I don't know how many people go to Ballast Dental Care because they had their teeth knocked out, but I do know this. I know that there are all kinds of people in the last 15, 16 years who are AM and the PM who have become Ballast Dental Care patients for all kinds of reasons. Some of them had never and have never still, who are listening, been to the dentist for 10, 15, even 20 years. Of all the emails I remember, the 20-year emailer was the person who'd gone the longest without going to the dentist. And it took years of just listening to me try to convince this person, if you go one time, your fear of dentistry is over, you will have found your dental home, just please make an appointment. And this person finally did, and now is a regular patient of Ballast Dental Care. They have a patient from, I don't know, Effingham, somewhere. It's like an hour and a half at least away. Twice a year, drive into Ballast Dental Care, because this is the dental clinic so many people never thought existed. The place where you'll never again be afraid. The place where after 5 minutes in the place, you'll feel like you've been a patient there for years. That's just the way they make you feel. They don't shame you. They don't embarrass you. They just get to work in a way that is hard to explain. You just, again, have to make the appointment. You went to the dentist 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 16 years ago. Make an appointment at Ballast Dental Care. You'll thank me for this. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com.
Time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by Tucker Allen, westbound 44 past Hampton. Looks like they cleared that debris from the two left lanes. All lanes have reopened. Now, we did have a crash in the backup. Not sure if it's still there or not. You do have delays approaching Vandeventer. Look for brake lights westbound 64 at Hampton. Eastbound 70 slowing downtown past Salisbury. And an earlier incident westbound 70 at Route K. Tucker Allen, a law firm providing personalized will and trust packages at a fixed cost. Put estimate planning at the top of your New Year's resolution list. Everyone needs a will or a trust. Tucker Allen can help. Learn more at TuckerAllen.com/New Year. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Grizz fans, grab your tickets for wrestling night as your Memphis Grizzlies host the San Antonio Spurs Wednesday, January 9th at 7 p.m. For $22, get two terrace-level tickets and 2 5-piece boneless wing coupons from Wing Guru. Get tickets today by calling 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
I mean, several calls, but only 3 minutes, so let's just jump right in. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, gang. How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, John. How are you?
I don't have to tell you, but I will. I may am in the PM.
Oh, yeah. In a couple of minutes, what's up?
You know, I've been listening for, I just can't tell you how many hours I've listened over the last 21 years, but heard a lot of people come and go, and Tim, you are going to be sorely missed. Your skills as a digital clock adjuster are phenomenal.
Don't go
a clock adjuster.
Don't go overboard, okay?
Do you guys happen to have any audio? Was there any hidden audio of the recording of when he was talking with John Hadley?
Oh, Tim?
No, maybe.
I don't believe.
No, but you know what's funny about that is that the digital clock, the one day that it did screw up in the studio, I walked over to it while Frank was on the air, and I started hitting buttons on it, and miraculously came back on, and Frank has lauded me as the master digital clock resetter. I have no idea how I reset the clock that day. I have no
idea. That's what, you know what? That's what all geniuses say. That's what all people, a good cook goes, well, I don't know how that cake came out so well. I didn't put enough flour in it. Don't undersell yourself here and take the credit for being a clock resetter. Okay.
But we call him in once in a while when the clock messes up.
Hey, Tim, how's it going, your buddy? What you
John, anything else?
No, that'll do it. Hope you guys have a fabulous day.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Now, I know this is not a lot of time, but I have a minute and a half for Fishbone. Fishbone, come on in here. Welcome to 590 The Fan.
Yeah, Frank, AM and PM.
Thank you.
Talking about bikes, I grew up in Ocala, Missouri when it was, you know, under 7,000 people, but as kids, we would actually make choppers out of our bikes.
Yes.
Take galvanized pipe and make choppers and upside down bikes where you literally spin the whole frame where the sprockets on top and then you have to make a real tall seat and all kinds. But we also grew up during the Evel Knievel days when people would throw their ping pong tables away. We'd make these 5-foot ramps and, you know, counterbalance them with cinder blocks so they wouldn't tip over. And one guy, he ended up going to the hospital because he twisted his nuts jumping lies. But, and there's always that guy that no matter what, he's going to get hurt, you know.
Yeah.
That guy shouldn't be on a motorcycle, you know, same thing.
Yeah, but you were a lot more creative than I was. You were like an engineer. I didn't have the smarts to do any of that stuff, flipping the sprocket up. I can do that stuff, but I've seen it. I just wasn't smart enough to do it. John, we're out of a fishbone. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, Fishbone. You think it's his birth certificate name? Fishbone? Could be. Maybe his parents were on LSD or something when he was born. Okay, let's see. We got a lot to do here. Dr. Doug Pernikoff comes in after the news. If you have a pet, you care about the pet, we'll clear the screen and only take calls for Dr. Doug after we talk to John Londoff. News is next. It's 4 o'clock at 590, The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump and congressional Democrats are apparently making zero progress in reopening the federal government or reaching a compromise on the president's proposed southern border wall. The president met with congressional leaders today at the White House, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi appeared a short time later to say this.
It's cold out here, and the temperature wasn't much warmer in the Situation Room. Our meeting did not last long.
Vice President Mike Pence says Dems are not taking border security very seriously.
He asked Speaker Pelosi that...